Welcome and thanks for joining me on another episode of Collecting Rectangles. Today I'm going to check in on Lewis Brinson, Andrew Benintendi, and Aaron Judge. Also a quick peek at the upcoming Inception release and an oddball set with an interesting history that I came across recently. So I want to start off with Lewis Brinson. He plays for the Brewers, AAA, mostly center field this season. Historically, he's also played some left field. In through 62 at-bats, and he's probably up to maybe 70 by now, maybe more. But through 62 at-bats, he was batting 355, 403, 581 with three home runs. And it's the Brewers' outfield and their place in the standings that kind of combine to make Lewis Brinson a guy that a lot of people are looking at right now. With Keon Broxton and the expectations that the Brewers had for him, and those are not playing out so far this season. Right now, Keon Broxton, through 72 at-bats, he was batting 194, 272, 319. And I don't know how much longer the Brewers are going to sit with Keon Broxton out there in the outfield when they're currently pretty fairly competitive within their own division. Now, that could change, of course. They're not a playoff team, but they're going to try and contend. And I think if I've heard some baseball heads say that Lewis Brinson is probably going to be up this month. His 2012 Bowman Chrome Refractor autos. So if you look at those, just the BGS 9.5s, last month those were trending at just under $100. And if you look at the base autos raw ungraded, those were going up to 50. After the 2016 season, Baseball America had him as the 27th overall prospect. So I thought he would be relevant now, and he does seem to be trending up. If you look at his prices, there's some inching upwards. More and more people are paying a little bit more and more, and also the volume is up too. I think once he gets called up, if he's productive in that lineup, and I think he can be, then I think his cards are going to get even more attention. I wanted to look again at Andrew Benintendi. He was a guy who got a lot of attention, especially during spring break. Really high expectations for Benintendi, and he's been really great so far this season. After almost 100 at-bats, he was batting 333 with a 404 on-base percentage and three home runs, which in that lineup, you know, getting on base in that lineup is definitely going to help his counting stats, his runs. His 2017 Topps base card, no auto, is at a BGS 9.5. Those are trending for about $20. Just that base card, no serial numbers, no color. His 2017 Heritage, if you look at the rookie action variation, it's supposed to be short printed. The sales volume's pretty steady and fairly high. But raw, those are selling for $60 to $70. He obviously doesn't have a lot of cards to draw from, but I'm sure this year he'll get 15 new cards out there. And the Red Sox are currently playing 500 ball, but imagine if Andrew Benintendi keeps producing this way and the Red Sox get into the postseason and start playing ball. I just really see those cards jumping up with the Red Sox in the postseason. And I think they're somewhat reasonable now, even though Benintendi is not projected, at least not from the projection models that I look at on FanGraphs and a lot of the baseball heads. They don't seem to think Benintendi is going to be a big power guy. But even so, his cards are affordable now, and I think they're going to be even more sought after come October. And Aaron Judge, oh my gosh, Aaron Judge and Eric Thames have seen similar intense rises in price for their cards. I mean, Aaron Judge had a lot of people's attention anyway because he's a Yankees prospect who hadn't bottomed out yet and hadn't gotten terribly injured, you know. But he's hit 10 homers in 23 games, even more now. Actually, I kind of farmed these numbers out a few days ago. And he just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting. It's wild. His cheapest licensed autograph is Inception, which is common for a lot of these players that don't have a great deal of different cards and autographs and different releases. And that's probably over $60. Not serial numbered, not graded, just base, raw. And I think it's likely soon to reach 100. You can even look at the unlicensed stuff. His Panini Prism from 2013, there was a draft picks release. That's over $50 now. Which, that says something to me when a guy's unlicensed stuff, unlicensed, ungraded base autographs are going for over $50. There's a lot of hype surrounding Aaron Judge. I don't think it's certainly unwarranted, but no one stays on this pace. This is like a 70-something home run pace for the season. He's definitely going to slow down, but until then, he's a guy everybody's got their eyes on and everybody's buying. On May 17th, Topps is going to release their 2017 Inception. It has a pretty similar design to last season in that there's the colorful abstract imagery behind the action shots of the players. There's a lot of color parallels. The autos are mostly of rookies and younger stars. And it's one of those releases where you're not essentially buying a box, you're buying one pack. When I think of a box of cards, I think of a box of packs of cards. And just because you take one pack and put it in a box, to me that is a little misleading, although I know that we all understand that going into it. So they're selling these for $44 a box and you get 7 cards. It's released after Chrome, you know, and Chrome is king. That's what everybody says. And in terms of its reception and the excitement that people have over it, that's definitely the case. It also doesn't have aesthetic value like Heritage does. I see people really loving the Heritage releases. Maybe not as much as Chrome, but that release can sort of fall back on the fact that people love those old school designs. They love the aesthetic of that Heritage release. Inception, I see as being the opposite. Like, I don't know. Maybe they do, but I don't see how Top sells through Inception. People don't get excited about it. Depending on the population of a player's autographed cards, Inception's usually the one to fetch the least amount of money on the secondary market. That said, it's going to be out. Some people are going to buy it. And to a degree, I think sometimes it does offer collectors a cheap version, you know, a cheap sample of a player's autograph that's still licensed. So I know a lot of collectors can look forward to that. And one last segment, not focus on prices. I was culling my collection recently. I was going through a lot of cards, getting rid of a lot of stuff, and I came across an old, Steve Garvey. It was an old Steve Garvey card, and it caught my attention because the logo was very awkward. It had a circle in the bottom corner. It said B/B. And other than that, the card was very basic, very standard design for an 80s release. So I looked it up, and it was from a set called Boardwalk and Baseball. It was an oddball set called Top Run Makers, which is a ridiculous name to say a top run maker. No one ever says run makers or making runs. But I looked it up on sportscollectorsdaily.com and also on Wikipedia, and they're from a theme park that was short-lived in Central Florida. And it sounds like a really cool idea. It was basically a carnival populated with multiple fields for baseball games. So there was a spring training team, as well as a single A and a rookie league team. And they also had exhibits and artifacts from the Hall of Fame. To me, that sounds like an awesome place. But when you put it in Florida, in Central Florida, and it competes with all these other amazing theme parks, no one's kid is going to want to go to this baseball theme park when Mickey Mouse is down the road. So it closed in 1990, and this Boardwalk and Baseball 1987 Top Run Maker set was small. It had a 33-player checklist, and most of those players are now in the Hall of Fame. There was, among others, there was Reigns, Ripken, Mattingly, Boggs, Sandberg, Garvey, Dawson, Yount, Schmidt, and some others. And I think the cards look really awesome. even though they're very basic. They just have this pink border around a typical shot of a player, and then that curious B&B logo in the bottom corner, and the player's name along the bottom. It's a basic set with a basic design, but the unfamiliar logo kind of makes it intriguing. Those cards sell for about $1 a piece, and I'm definitely going to go after the whole set. I found the Garvey. I don't have any other ones, but I'm going to try and find the rest of those 32 cards to get that set. If you have any, hit me up at collectingrectangles@gmail.com, and I'm sure we could work out a trade. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Collecting Rectangles. Get a hold of me by email. If you want me to mention anything, check out the Twitter account, @CollectingWax. I'm going to be starting some new giveaways to try and expand my listenership. So again, thanks for listening, and good luck collecting.